And in principle, I've given this sermon a number of times in a number of different ways because I think it's one of the most essential things that we can understand is what the basics of God are and what His Word means and how we need to live that Word. And you'll recognize some of these things as we go on. But for those of you that have been around for a while, you know the name Herbert Armstrong. Some of you have come afterwards and really have no knowledge or understanding of who he was or what he did, but he was an individual that God used to bring truths to this day and age. And if you know the name Mr. Armstrong and you think back on some of the messages that he brought, he died in 1986, so a lot of younger people kind of heard of him kind of in the background, but those of you that heard him and listened to his sermons, you know that he had a number of very memorable quotes. What were some of those memorable quotes that you can remember Mr. Armstrong talking about?
No man can come.
Okay, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. Is I don't care, you know, unless God's calling you. Okay, yes. Blow the dust off your Bible in his broadcast, yes.
After
you people
don't get it.
After you people just don't get it. We're thinking, what are you talking about? And now we know what he's talking about if you've been around and see that at least half the people didn't get it. For a yes.
Don't believe me. Believe this book.
Don't believe me. Believe the Bible. It's one thing that he almost always said when he was giving his broadcasts. You know, he wanted you to look into the Word of God and prove what you believe from the Word of God. Don't take his word for it. You're just a man. Yes. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, you're... Stick with the trunk of the tree. Of course, if you saw my announcements, gave that one away. There are a number. Why are we here? We always heard that. Feast times especially. Well, I said, oh, what are we doing here? Why has God called us? What's our purpose? Look into the Word of God and see. And half of you just don't get it. Remember the two trees. Often did he talk about the two trees, and his point on that was that God told Adam and Eve they could take of every tree of the garden but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve decided for themselves what was right and what they wanted to do. And that set the stage for all of mankind. And he pounded that one home time and time again. And if you were around when he was alive, or if you've read past literature, you know he talked about that pretty often because it's the very beginning, like Mr. Remy was talking about. Go back to the start. He talked about the way of give versus get and how it applies to the principles of the Scripture. And don't believe me, believe the Bible. But one of those that he often talked about is, hold on to the trunk of the tree. Now, those of you, I think, is that Colin? I think that was taken long. Is that you, boy? No? Okay. It looks a lot like him, but anyway, it was taken at camp. Holding on to the trunk of the tree. I thought that was a pretty good picture of the kids holding on to that trunk. But I want to talk about the trunk of the tree today. Now, the trunk of the tree is not a biblical statement. Okay, it's not something he was quoting a scripture talking about the trunk of the tree. But let's look at some of the principles God uses when he wants us to understand about him. Matthew 12:33 says, either make a tree good and its fruit good, or else make a tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. And so God, Christ, was using analogies about a tree and what comes out of that tree. John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. We grow out from Jesus Christ. He's central. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. In principle, we're talking about the trunk of the tree and that which grows out from that tree. Matthew 13:31, he says another parable he put forth to them, saying the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed the field. And so he uses this analogy of the kingdom of God. And of course, the kingdom of God is what Jesus Christ came preaching. It's essential to why we are here and what God is doing. Verse 32, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when grown, it's greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. So the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And so he likens the kingdom of God to a tree. Isaiah 61, verse 1, in speaking of Christ coming to establish his kingdom, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. And the result of preaching good tidings to the poor and teaching God's way, verse 3, is that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So there are many scriptures that talk about the kingdom of God and his plan and who he is in terms of plants, trees in particular. And his final one, Jeremiah 17, verse 7. And this, I think, will apply directly what we're talking about today in principle. It says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Adam and Eve decided they would pick of their own tree. It says, you pick of the tree that is God. Verse 8, they are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. A tree that is solidly rooted, taking the moisture and the nourishment from the soil, it's going to be strong and healthy and put up with all of the tests and the trials that a plant can go through. And I think when we're talking about God's way of life, and the church of God, and all those things that we're called to, that when we're firmly rooted in the trunk of the tree, then that will cause us to continue growing, building fruit, and working towards the kingdom. So, why do we need to hold on to the trunk of the tree? Why is that so important? Well, Ephesians 4 and verse 14 tells us that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speak the truth in love. It said there are things that will come along that will be blown around and that aren't stable. It says if you want to be stable, you stay away from those things that can carry you off, that can take you away from the most basic foundations that God has called us to. And so if we want to keep from being blown around, and we see as we look at the history of the church that many people get blown around. Many people get blown off and taken away, and 1995 is a good example of that when people just kind of abandon the faith that was once delivered. And they don't believe anything anymore, some of them, or they believe the doctrines of men, you know, the Christmas and Easter and all those types of things. So let's talk about what is the trunk of the tree, if we use that analogy, and what are the most basic foundations? Now, we've used the analogies of a building and the foundations of a building, which some of these scriptures do, but we're going to discuss and see what is the thing that we can hold on to that if we don't let go of and we use as our basis that we can grow thereby and have fruit as a result of being attached to the trunk of the tree. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, he says, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, something you have to have before the rest of the building can be built, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And indeed, that scripture is using the building as an analogy, but when we talk about the firm tree, the most basic things that there are, You go back to that firm foundation of Jesus Christ, the creator of all things. Ephesians 2 verse 20, it says, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. So, we look to God and Jesus Christ as the most basics of what we believe. I think we'd all agree with that. Most people would. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 18, it says, no one has seen God at any time, only the begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, and Jesus has declared the Father. Okay, so he came to declare the Father, and so, of course, the Father and the Son, the most basics of that, which is our foundation, which would be the trunk of the tree that he's growing, the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says, Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Why did he even come? What was he doing here? Why did he divest himself of eternal life and become a human being and die for mankind? It's to promote the kingdom of God. It was his purpose for being here and dealing with us and for creating us. And saying the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom of God. So, of course, there's God the Father and God the Son, and why they created the world, why they created mankind, why you and I are here. And so when we're looking to see what the most basic foundation is, it's the kingdom of God, under God the Father and Jesus Christ. So how much more foundational can you get? Everything else is built upon that. So if you get away from any one of those three, then you are away from and you've let go of the trunk of the tree. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, it's the gospel of the kingdom of God. And of Jesus Christ as our Savior, and the one that can bring us into and give us the gift of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. So don't move away from that basic foundation, that hope, the reason for our existence and the existence of any human being. Okay, so let's move down the tree a little bit and see what the tree grows from. What is it that gives nourishment to the rest of the tree? And we'll get out on some of the limbs. We'll get out on some of the twigs as we go on here. But in principle, let's ask the question, what are the roots? If you've got the tree, which is a big foundation, what are the roots that supply the tree? Now, those of you that have done any planting at all, you plant the seed and it's in the ground and it goes down and starts roots, and then from there the plant grows. So again, some of the most basic things. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, and what is God's plan? Well, the kingdom of God, bringing sons to glory, many children to glory. Verse 16, he said, I pray that he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. Now, if we're going to be attached to that tree, if we're going to grow, if we're going to produce fruit, we've got to be attached to that vine. And how is it that we're attached to the vine? Well, it says through his Holy Spirit. The New Living Translation here in verse 17 says, and I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. You got that foundation. And may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. I like the way the scripture puts that in the New Living Translation, is that if we're to have roots, if we're to be fed, it goes down in the roots, the soil of God's marvelous love. Now, what is God? It says God is love. The Holy Spirit, the power that comes from God, that which emanates from Him, the power that He gives to you, it's defined by love. A certain basic principle that He is. He gave Himself for you because He loves you. He gave of His love, and He expects us to absorb it and to become like Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is likened to water. Now, what happened? How do you get a tree to grow or a plant to grow? Well, you water it. And that water goes into the roots and then goes up through the whole tree. And that's God's power, God's Holy Spirit. It's not an essence. It's not a person, but it is that which is His power. So we have God, Christ, and the kingdom. And back to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted on a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water." And so we've got to be firmly attached to God's Spirit that He gives to us, to be with us before baptism and in us afterwards. Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. The leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. And so God's Spirit goes throughout. God's Spirit is in God the Father and Jesus Christ. And then He gives it to us for understanding who He is, what He's doing. John chapter 4, verse 8 says God is love. And so we talk about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about love. So love is a basis of who He is. It's again gets down to that most basic foundation. So let's go up the tree. We take the Spirit of love, which comes from the roots, goes up into the tree. And as the tree grows and expands, love is again the basis of who God is and what He's doing and His relationship with us and our relationship with Him. 1 John 5, verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God." And so he defines what makes love. He says that we keep His commandments. And so His way of life on how to love man and how to love God shows that love, and it's done with His Spirit. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40, talks about these two great commandments. What are the two great commandments? The commandment of love towards God and love towards neighbor. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And so you take God's love, God's power, what He's doing with us, bringing us into His family, bringing the kingdom of God, and it's founded on the principles of the Ten Commandments. How do you love God? How do you love man? Okay, so let's keep those in mind. Now you start doing away with the Ten Commandments, you're disconnecting yourself from the tree. It's a part of God. You're saying, "Well, God, I don't need that part of you." Now we do. So let's take a branch here. We talk about the love of God. So you've got God is love. You show God love by keeping His commandments. And so let's take the commandments that talk about loving God, how to love God. These are the two great commandments, right? So what are some of those laws relating to loving God? Let's just take the one, the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy because you're honoring God the Father. And of course, that gives a lot of blessings that come from that, day of rest and rejuvenation for you and spiritual rejuvenation and giving of ourselves on the Sabbath. And so it's also showing love towards one another. But one of those branches off from the love of God is the Sabbath. a branch off from the Sabbath are the holy days. No, you have remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It doesn't say remember the holy days to keep them holy, although it later says that. But the holy days are a branch from the Sabbath. If you remember, for those of you, again, familiar with Herbert Armstrong, when he was exposed to the truth and he was associating one of the churches of God, the Sardis era, who kept the Sabbath but did not understand the holy days. So they were keeping the Sabbath as a main branch from loving God. And then greater and further understanding came that we're to keep the holy days as a part. It is one of the holy days. Leviticus chapter 23 talks about the holy days as being Sabbaths. Okay, now you take those holy days, and one of the holy days is the day of Pentecost. We just kept. You can talk about the other branches that come off from the holy days, right? So we keep Pentecost because that shows love for God, shows love for one another. And that goes back to why do we keep Pentecost? Why do we keep the holy days? Because they show the plan of God and the kingdom of God, which is the foundation again. So those are pointing us back to the very foundation, back to the trunk of the tree of what God is doing with us, what God's role is in that, what Jesus' role is it, and what our role is in that. So you see how it's all taking you back to the basics of God and Jesus Christ and the love of God by bringing the kingdom of God to all of us. So now off from Pentecost, it's okay, so I need to keep the day of Pentecost. What day do we keep it on? Okay, now the day you keep it is not up the branch somewhere. It doesn't say, okay, here's the day to keep it exactly. We keep it. Okay, now I'll show you count 50 days. Okay, you keep Pentecost. Now count 50 days. And so counting the 50 days is an extension, a branch, if you will, of Pentecost. And if many of you kept Pentecost on Monday, with a firm belief that we should. Okay, so later we studied and found that, well, looks like we should keep it on Sunday, not Monday. Okay, now, were we detached from the trunk of the tree because we kept it on Monday for many years? No, we were attached to the tree, but we had one of the branches off from the holy day that we had lesser understanding of, gain a deeper understanding of. Oftentimes with the holy days, people get focused on some of the extraneous things that actually, when it comes right down to it, it's not the trunk of the tree. It's not the basics. It's getting off on things, and people argue about calendar and about counting and all sorts of things. So, yes, you have the truth. You hold on to that, but don't get off on a limb. And sometimes people's main focus are the limbs. Let's talk about loving man. Okay, what are some of the commandments relating to loving man? How do you love one another? And again, that gets back to the most basic things. Love comes from God. These are the commandments. And so let's take the commandment, you shall not steal. Okay, that's one of the branches off from how to love man, one of the Ten Commandments. Okay, now within you shall not steal, you've got some other things that God puts in there and says, okay, the tithe is mine, and if you take it, will a man rob God? Are you stealing? So the tithe is not first, don't steal is first. Tithe is a branch from not stealing. We get a further understanding of what it means, you shall not steal. Give to God his tithe so we can serve other people and give to them. That's what the tithe does. It goes out to serve other people, and so you're showing love for God and you're showing love for man. Now, within that tithe, we study it. We say, well, there was more than just one tithe. The tithe goes a little deeper than that. But let's take Matthew chapter 23 and verse 13. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and says, "You shut up the kingdom." And verse 23 says, "You tithe and have omitted the weightier matters of the law." So he told the Pharisees that you are out on some branches and you're not pointing people to the kingdom of God. You're getting off on these things. You're making, you know, how far you can walk on the Sabbath and making various rules about swatting a gnat on the Sabbath and things like that. And you're getting off on these things, and that's your focus. You're getting people to look to you as you show them, this is what I think about the Sabbath and so forth. And then you cut off the kingdom of God. You're off on a limb. Now you are to stay attached to the trunk and let that flow out from the trunk. Why do you do things? We do it because of love. So, again, the tithe is one of those things that's out on a limb. I mean, it's attached. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not important. It is. It's a part of the tree. But when our focus becomes one thing out on the limb, then we get in danger. We take the tithes, and from the Bible there appear to be three different tithes at different times, and one of those is the third tithe, which is support for the widow and the needy. Okay, and the third tithe actually becomes a part of the administration. How do I administer the tithe? Well, for the most part, this nation takes care of the needy. So it's a redundant payment in a sense. And so basically all of the churches of God independently have made administrative decision that third tithe is essentially covered with your taxes. And people are taken care of, and there are government programs and things. And again, that gets out on administrative things that are away from the trunk of the tree. So you got to be careful what you get out on. Let's look at another major branch when we talk about the love of God, and that is the Word of God. Now, the Bible you've got on your lap is the Word of God. And we look at the Word of God, and there are different aspects of the Word of God. There are various stories of history. There are prophecies. One of the aspects from the Word of God is prophecy. It's about a third of the Bible in some form or the other. So you've got prophecy, and you start studying prophecy, and a lot of those prophecies talk about the second coming. Okay, now these are all in the Bible. It's all important. But again, what is the most basic foundation, and do we get off on things that will separate us from the trunk if we're not careful? Part of the second coming is you can look and study it and say, well, when Christ comes, there'll be a lot of wars. And there's going to be a lot of different people fighting the wars. And then it talks about, well, who are these people going to be? And it says, well, the king of the north is going to come down, and the king of the south, and they're going to clash, and they're going to do this and that. So who is the king of the north? Who is the king of the south? Now, those are not trunk of the tree. They're prophecies. It is going to happen. But if your focus is on, well, I think that the guys that are going to come down and the king of the north is Europeans. No, I think they're Asians. I think they're Muslims. And you can get into arguments about, well, who are they? We can guess. Maybe your guess is right. But if that is your focus, and you're all wrapped up in prophecy about, well, God showed me that it's these people. Well, God will show you who they are when it happens. I'll guarantee that. Then you get about, when is this going to happen? Oh, you know, I got figured out as who the king of the north and king of the south are and got all these things. And Jesus Christ is going to return. When is it going to happen? The fact it is going to happen is, that's actually trunk of the tree. Because he's building his kingdom. We look to that. But these other things about when his second coming comes and who's going to fight the wars. When you talk about when, well, I know I've got a date set of when Christ is going to return. Is that what Christ said to focus on? He said, well, no man knows the day or the hours. How important did it seem to him? Okay, and you say, well, I know, I've got a date. God revealed this to me. You're holding on to a very thin limb. Okay, when that's your focus, you're out there, you're not grabbing onto the trunk of the tree. You're out there on this limb. And what happens, and some of you have experienced that, when you were growing up and started climbing trees, you got too far out on a limb. What happens? That limb can break off. And a lot of people have fallen off the tree because of a date they've set and it didn't come to pass and they got discouraged or they had to change their minds or whatever it might be because they got out on the limb. So don't grab on to the twigs, the little things that really to God are not that important. Yes, they're a part of it. They're prophecies and so forth, but don't fall off. And I've seen so many people fall off the tree when they got out on their limb. So Matthew chapter 6:33 gives us some very basic directions. He tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, what was it we talked about to begin with? Is that the very trunk of the tree is God and his righteousness, that which comes through his spirit and his power, and what he's doing with mankind, the kingdom of God. That's first. That's the thing you focus on. And then all these other things are going to be added to you. You know, you're going to get a greater understanding. There's going to be a lot of good things to happen, a lot of interactions. But if the tree grows, but you've got to stay focused on the trunk. You've got to stay focused on those basics which point us to God, to Jesus Christ, and to his coming kingdom. So seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these other things, they'll come together.